Chazar Zichin Nishmat Bachar Chesel Shagam Levam Yehudim Sechel Shachum Daf Samach Aleph. Zok the Mishnah, if someone shechted a Pesach intending for people who can't eat it, like, for example, they're old or sick, or for people who were not part of the group, or for people who did not have a bris, or for people who were Tomei, the Pesach is puzzel. If you shechted it intending for people who could eat it and for people who can't eat it, or for people who were part of the group and for people who were not part of the group, or for people who had a bris and for people who did not have a bris, or for Tomei people and for people who are tar, then it's kosher. Dr. Mishnah, if a Pesach is shechted before Chatzos, it's possible because the Pasuk says Bein Arba'im. If a Pesach was shechted before the Korban Tomei, the Pesach is kosher, but the blood should not be placed on the Mizbeach until after the blood of the Tomei. If the Pesach blood was placed on the Mizbeach before the Tomei blood, the Pesach is still going to be kosher. Zok the Gemara, Braisa says, the Pasuk says regarding Pesach that it has to be shechted b'michsas nefashos, which means according to the number of people. From here we're taught that a Korban Pesach has to be shechted for people who have been included in the group that's bringing it. The Pasuk repeats and says tochoisu, which teaches that shechting it for people who are not in the group bringing the Pesach actually makes the Pesach possible. It's makif. In fact, the Gemara, how do we know that shechting for people who can't eat the kezayis will make the Pesach possible? The Gemara says, the Pasuk says, ish tefi ochloi tochoisu, which makes a hekish from the eaters to the ones who are part of the group, and teaches that they have the same halacha that it would make a puzzle. Zok the Gemara, if someone shechts a Korban Pesach to be eaten by people who have a bris, but has in mind that the zrika should also be for people who don't have a bris, Rav Chis says it's possible because there's an intent for the zrika to include people without a bris, and Rabbi said it's kosher because as long as the shechita is for people with a bris, any intent during the zrika will not have an effect. Rabbi brings a proof from a brisa. The brisa says, just like if one person in the group is tamei, he will not make the Pesach possible for the rest of the group, so too, if there's a partial intent to include someone who doesn't have a bris, it will not make the Pesach possible for the rest of the group. Or maybe we should say that just like having a mind to eat even a kezayis of a carbon beyond his proper time, meaning pigle, will make the entire carbon possible, so maybe intending even for one person without a bris should likewise make the entire carbon possible. The brisa says, we'll learn the din of intending for one without a bris from the din of including one who is tummy, since they only apply to Pesach, because for all the other carbonas, a tummy person or someone without a bris can make a shliach for someone else to bring the carbon for him, but not for Pesach. And we will not learn that from intending for beyond its proper time, which applies to all other carbonas as well. However, one may say that we should learn that from intending for beyond its proper time, and we should not learn that from tumma, because tumma is different in that a Pesach is sometimes permitted to be brought by tummy people when most of the eat not tummy. Therefore, the pasuk says the word, V'chol Orel, which teaches that the psul of not having a bris only makes the carbon possible when all the members of the group don't have a bris. Now, we may say that the same psul should apply for Zrika as well. To prevent us from saying that, the pasuk says Zois, which teaches that as long as the shechita was performed for people who have a bris, the Pesach is kosher, even if the Zrika was intended only for people who don't have a bris. The reason why Zrika is treated more leniently is because we find that the Zrika does not have to be done with the intent for those who can eat the Pesach. So we see that Zrika is treated more leniently. Rav Chisda will say that the Braisa should be understood to be saying that a partial intent for those who don't have a bris is only not problematic during the Shechita. However, during the Zrika, even a partial intent for those who don't have a bris will be problematic. The word Zois teaches that a partial intent like this is only not problematic for Shechita, but for Zrika it would be a problem. It seems right to be more machmir by Zrika because we find that it's more stringent in the din of pigel, which only applies to Zrika. So that's the way each of them will explain the Brais. Ravashi asks that this explanation of the Machloikis is based on the assumption that the Pasuk of V'chol Orel teaches that it's only problematic if all the people don't have a bris. V'chol means everybody. Maybe V'chol should be understood to mean any and not all, in which case it would mean that if there's anybody without a bris, it makes the Pesach possible. To avoid this way of thinking, the Pasuk says Zois, which teaches that it's only problematic if all members of the group don't have a bris. If the words of the Pasuk are explained in this way, the psul would apply to shechita as well as zrika. There would be no words which would teach us to differentiate between the shechita and the zrika. So how do we show a difference between shechita and zrika, like we've been saying until now? So because of this question, rather, Rav Ashi says that Rav Chisda and Rabba argue regarding the following pasuk. The pasuk says v'nirtza loy l'chaper alav. This teaches that the zrika of a carbon must be done for the person bringing the carbon. Rabba says it's only pasul if the person he has in mind for, meaning instead of the real owner, is fit to have brought this carbon. Therefore, one without a bris who can't bring a carbon Pesach will not make the Pesach possible if the Zrika is intended for him, because he can't bring the carbon anyway. Rav Chisda says that Hoyle, since this person could bring a Pesach if he were to give himself a bris, so if the Zrika is done with him in mind, it would make the Pesach possible even now. So it comes out basically that Rabbah is not saying doesn't hold of hoyl, or Rav Chisda does. Perfect Gemara, we find that Rabbah actually does say hoyl regarding cooking on Yom Tov. He says it's permitted even late in the day on Yom Tov, hoyl guests may come. And Rav Chisda is actually one who says we do not say hoyl in that case. How can it be over here if Chisda does say hoyl and Rabbah says not to say hoyl? The Gemara answers, Rabbah doesn't say hoyl here because there's an action that has to be taken. He has to give himself a bris. Regarding Yom Tov, no action has to be taken, and therefore he does say hoyl when no action has to be taken. Rav Chisda, on the other hand, he says the concept of hoyl only when it leads to a chumrah. Like over here, saying hoyl leads to a chumrah becomes possible. However, when it leads to a kula, like on Yom Tov, that it will allow us to cook over there, he doesn't say hoyl, and that's why in the case of a Yom Tov, he does not say hoyl. In this case, he will say hoyl because it leads to a chumrah.